morning. There is life in him. Hallelujah. There's life in him. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. If you would stand with me, if you're not already standing, turn to Book of Philippians, chapter 3. While you're turning there, I failed to mention that if you still have a She's for Christ coin bank, you can still turn those in. The withdrawing will be this Wednesday. Please get those in by tonight, or if you can't make it to Wednesday, bring those in anytime, whether they're partially full, fully full, preferably fully full, or if they're really empty but have 100 on them, we'll take that too. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." This morning, I'm going to speak for just a short while on the subject, to be or not to be. To be or not to be. Put your Bibles down. Let's call out unto the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much that we can be here this morning. We thank you, God, Lord Jesus, that, Lord Jesus, God, that you have brought us to this place. We felt your presence, God. We felt a tug on our hearts, Lord. I pray, God, help us right now just to tune in, God, to what you have to say to us. Speak through your word, Lord Jesus, I pray. Speak to our situations, our circumstances, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we would leave this place with a new understanding, with a changed life. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them. This is one of the most famous literary quotes in all of history from the Shakespearean play Hamlet. Many of us, most of us, have probably heard that phrase, to be or not to be. It's from Act 3, Scene 1. And if you look into, I Googled it, because literary works, I hated English lit. I'm sorry for all those who love it, but there are so many interpretations, and you look at it, and they're like, no, it means this. And you're like, where do you get that from? So I looked into this, and most interpretations, scholars look at this, and they consider this passage, and they say that Hamlet is asking himself about his own life. Should I live and face the trials of life, or should I end it all and commit suicide? Should I live or should I die? Should I fight through life and all that comes with it, or should I throw in the towel and end it all? Let me extend it. Should I be something in life, or should I just quote-unquote die and just exist in life? Should I choose eternal life in Christ, or should I choose eternal damnation? That is the question. That's a question that faces each one of us this morning. Will we merely exist in life, or will we be? There's a big difference between existing and being. All of us here this morning exist. Now, some of you haven't checked in maybe, and your mind's still in the fluffy bed, or maybe you've already checked out and you're ahead to lunchtime. But you exist in this place, but are you being in this place? You see, all through Scripture, we're admonished to be throughout Scripture. I just looked at, there's so many scriptures with the word be in it, and I just went through, and 1 Peter, I took 1 Peter, And there's so many scriptures. 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. 1 Peter 1:15, so be holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 2:18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. 3:8, be ye all of one mind, be pitiful, be courteous. 3:14, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 3:15, be ready to always give an answer to every man. 4:7, be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 5:5, be subject one to another, be clothed with humility. 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. And if you continue looking throughout scripture, we're admonished to be things. We're admonished to do things, to have an attitude that's according to scripture. No matter what area of our life we're told to be in, our attitudes, our actions, our conversations. Why? Because it's too easy just to exist. It's too easy to exist and go through life. The enemy doesn't care if you simply exist in this place this morning. He doesn't care if you proclaim Christianity. I read an article, and I just thought of this, forgot about to print it off, but it talked about on CNN.com, teens and fake Christianity. And they did all this surveying about teens and how really, there's so many that proclaim Christianity, but have no clue what they believe. They can't decipher what they believe. They couldn't tell anybody what they believe. They're just existing. The enemy doesn't care if you come to church this morning and sit on a pew. We can all do that. We can all exist. He doesn't care if you clap your hands, tap your feet, nod your head. This music is awesome. He doesn't care if you come in and just say, oh, this is, man, I just feel something. Why? Because you're just merely existing. We're just merely existing and not being anything. He does care if you be, though. He cares if you be something for Christ. He cares if you be a witness, young people in school. He cares if you be kind to others, be loving, be good. Why? Because you're a choosing life. You are choosing to impact the world to reach somebody else. We look at a very familiar passage of scripture at the end of the book of Joshua. The scenario is that Joshua is coming down to the end of his life, the twilight of his life. He knows he doesn't have much time left. This is Joshua who fought the battle of Jericho, who took them over the Jordan River into the promised land and had conquered so many nations or countries and peoples. And he knew he didn't have time left. And so he gathers the elders of Israel, the heads of every tribe, the officers, the Bible says. He goes over the history of their nation with them, from Abraham and taking that step of faith and leaving his home country and following the promise of God on down through Isaac and Jacob, all the way through Egypt. And now he goes into where they are today in the promised land and talks about how God has given them the land they were in and had blessed them. And then in verse 15, it says, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Because he knew that there was idolatry all over the world and they had to make a choice for what they were going to do. And he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, we're going to be children of God. And the people responded naturally after such a incredible, you know, speech and just compelling. And the people said, yeah, we're with you. We're with you. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to be his children. We're going to serve him. But Joshua in the next chapter passed on. The elders passed on. And soon those things that they spoke were just words, because they were just rah, rah, re, kick them in the knee. Yeah, we're going to serve the Lord, but it was just an existence. They had never actually were children of God. They were just words. They were just existing in the church. And soon the nation of Israel, you look into Judges, descended into evil, not serving the Lord. One generation passed, and then it was just judge after judge. God said, okay, you want to do your own thing? Go ahead. What happens when you do your own thing? Life gets miserable. And the nations came against them, took them over, made them their slaves. Then they're like, God, we need you. Said, all right, cool. Boom, sends a guy. Sends Samson, for example. Samson kicks everyone's tail. You know, yeah. And then Samson's dead, and they go back to existing. Over and over and over and over again. I have a message for the young people, the young adults, the young marrieds, the young parents. We at Calvary Gospel Church have a solid rock in Jesus, but we have solid rock elders. I'm so thankful for a pastor that every week we get to hear. You know, he spoke at family camp, and I wasn't able to be there, but my wife was just commenting on it, and I heard so many from outside of our church. Man, that's just on Facebook, just it flooded Facebook. Man, this is just meat, was basically the message that was all across Facebook, all across social networking. This was phenomenal. I just, it's just so deep and just so. And Fiona came back and was like, you know, it was just so awesome to hear the same things we've been hearing all these years again. And to get a fresh perspective. But you know what? This is what we normally hear. This is what we always hear. And so it's commonplace almost to us that we're blessed with such a pastor. We have elders in our church. Brother Irv Manley is teaching a new life class this morning. 90 plus years old. A rock. A solid rock. We look at the Thorpes, the Thomases, the Rossings, the Russells. There's just so many. I could go on. Jan Rager is such a figurehead of strength in this church for me in my life. But you know what? Someday, if the Lord tarries, every single one of our elders will pass on. Don't mean to be gloom and doom, and hopefully God comes soon so we're just all up in the rapture. But someday they will pass on. And I wonder, will we have just existed under their leadership, young people, young adults, young marrieds? Will we have just existed in this church? Will we turn to evil when our elders are gone? Will we forsake it because we never were being something for God in the now? Will it be that in that day that they're all gone, that we will say, as for me and my house. This is not about Pastor Grant anymore. It's about me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Because existing leads, the danger of existing is that it leads to mediocrity. It leads to being passive for God. It leads to going with the flow. I've been disturbed lately in the past few months just seeing some things. I'm just going to talk to youth and young adults. I see a mindset that, hey, we love God, we're serving God, and man, it's just great to be with people who do the same. And so we go fellowship to fellowship, and frankly, it's merely just existing. I look at it and, you know, I'm still young. I'm 31, but when I crossed the 30 barrier, I was like, who is the next young minister in this church? When we line up to take communion, I look across and I'm thankful for our elders. I'm thankful for them. And I stand over there, I'm like, where's the next generation? Where are the young people? Where are the young adults? Where are those that are going to stand up for him? And I'm not saying we all have to be ministers, licensed ministers, no, but it's just an existence I see. We're merely existing. We want to enjoy the blessings of God. And man, God is just moving mightily in services and in our worship. And it's incredible to feel the power of God and see lives change. And we create an atmosphere. But then are we just enjoying the blessings without sacrificing for more? That's why Joshua and Israel had to fight one town at a time. God had promised them the land of Israel, or the promised land. But they had to go in and they had to defeat one person after another town. They weren't just, boom, okay, everyone leaves and we're here. Why? Because that was the blessing. And God in Scripture says, I don't want you to be spoiled by just getting blessings and never having to work for it. Are we working for it? But I love God, you say. And I look at our youth group, and please, young people, don't think I don't think we're doing good things for the Lord. Top to bottom, I posted this after Wednesday night, and just being blown away by the talent, by the thoughtfulness, by the planning. That we didn't do a thing, church. Honestly, the youth team didn't do a thing. I assigned Carl to be the go-to person, and they checked in with him, but he didn't tell them to do anything. They just got permission on a couple things from them that they surprised us all with. But they did everything, and I went away just thinking, top to bottom, this is I'd match this youth group up with any youth group in this world. Top to bottom, we are a phenomenal youth group. But what can happen is that we get to a place and we make strides with God, and we take a step in God, and then it's like, man, this is so awesome. Yeah, God is great and he's doing good in my life. And then we just kind of, man, I'm going to just live in this moment. I'm just going to exist here. And I preached earlier this month that the process of perfection and how there's always another step for us. And what can happen so many times is that we take a huge step and God blesses and we feel overwhelmed by his power and spirit. And like I said, we just kind of just, I'm going to sit back in this lazy boy because this is awesome. Oh, God, you're great. Instead of saying, God, I want more. God, what's the next step? You know, this is extreme days, young people. And just as an example, as a challenge, in the last 4 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we've had something every day. There's been one visitor at church and in all those events. One visitor. Are we existing in the awesomeness of our youth group? Because we do rock. I'm sorry, but we do. And I'll say that statewide too. I'm stinking proud of our youth group. A little cocky about how cool we are and just great. But are we existing in that? Are we happy to be just a great youth group that really loves God, that we're having awesome youth services on Wednesday nights, that we can lead a whole service without any effort from an adult or direction? We can do it ourselves. We're to a place. But now I feel we're just starting to exist in that place. It's a process. What's the next step? There was a slogan in the Army, be all that you can be. Be all that you can be in the Army. They've changed it since then. But I would say today, be all that you can be in Christ. Don't just exist. Be all that you can be and you'll rock the world's socks off. We'll see revival in our schools. We'll see bus routes explode over this entire city. But let me tell you, it's not just, woo, we're going to do it. We're going to see 20,000. No, there's got to be some people that, you know what? It's going to be me who does something. It's going to be me who gets out of the existing realm and starts being for Christ. New college students, it's great to see you. But you're not here just to exist on campus. Some of the most powerful people that have come into this church and gone on have come through campus ministry. And it was the people at that time that were out there talking. I know school can get hard, young people. I know school can get hard. And I went through UW. There was days I had to forsake fellowship to get my grades and do well in school. But is it all about fellowship? Is it all about existing? Is it all about getting your education? Or is it like, God, you've called me to this school. What do you want me to do? God, here I'm at high school. I'm in junior high. I'm a freshman this year. God, what is it that you want me to be this year, this semester? If you would stand with me, to be or not to be? That is the question. The song went, do you hear him calling? You hear him calling, come. There's a call to have life and to live in his will. There's a call to be in Christ today. But maybe you're here today and your most pressing concern is something that's ailing your body physically. Maybe it's an emotional need. There is healing in this place, and you can be healed. Looking at Brother Larry Smith, healed of cancer. You can be healed. And so if you need a healing in your body, we welcome you down to this, up here on the left, your left up here, and ministers will pray with you. Maybe there's a situation going on in your life, a trouble, a concern, just things you can't get through. Come on up in the front and ministers will pray with you and pray that God will just solve that situation. But there's a call too, that just as Hamlet was saying, you know what, to be or not to be, life or death, should I end it all or should I give, just stay living? There's an eternal destination that each one of us will face. And that question is out there today as well. Will you choose life? Or will you choose death? And we would encourage you to come. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we would encourage you to come to the right side and seek after the Lord. If you need to be baptized, if you've never been baptized, come on up. Ministers will walk you through that process. Church, to be or not to be? That's the question. I want us not to exist, but to be all that we can be for God. That we will do things this year that we've never done before, that we've never seen in our lives. Won't you come? Won't you find a place to pray? Ask the Lord, what am I doing that just existed?